Father in heaven, we thank you this day, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, Father, that we once again, O Lord, can come before thee. Amen. To worship thee, Lord, to fellowship in each and every one of the family of God that are gathered here. And we thank you most of all, Father, for that precious word of life. Amen. For truly, Lord, it is our treasure. The world may have theirs, but Lord, we have yours in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit, in our mind. We pray, Lord, that it will be so till we see Jesus face to face, till eternity comes. So, Father, bless us now as we gather around thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. My treasure, our treasure, your treasure, I pray it is so. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 20. And I want someone to read 2 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 20 and then also verse 27 to 35. Chapter 29, 2 Chronicles. 29.
Yes. And Hezekiah, the king, rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord.
All right, verse 27 to 35.
And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregations worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David, and were Asaph the seer, and they sang praises and gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. And these were for the burnt offerings to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priest was too few, so that he could not lay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them, till the work was ended. And until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in their abundance, with the fat of the priest's offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly.
All right. You know, here's a record of the children of Israel. They were all such a mess up there because of their life. But the Lord came on sending prophet after prophet, good kings after, you know, good kings, and sometimes they are evil kings. And when you get a good king, like Hezekiah, he realized that the people were not actually worshipping the Lord the way they should. So now he set these things in order, as you read in the last verse 35. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. So we realize one thing, you know, when we come to the house of the Lord, let us put ourselves in order when we come to the fellowship of God. You know, and this has been a problem over the years. And I said last, when you form a habit, that habit gets into you and you form a character. You know, when we come on Sunday, are you happy to come and worship the Lord? Whether it be a Sunday or when we get on a Friday. Or do you come dragging your feet? Now I said this many times, some people don't like it. Because I said this many, almost quite regularly, on and off. And then one brother told me, and years ago, he said, when you keep on telling them they come there, they don't like it, they get irritated. I said, brother, you're one of them. That's why. That's a fact. If we want to come to the house of the Lord, let us bring ourselves to the house of the Lord. Get up early in the morning. Don't blame it on the traffic jam that delays you or your children. Now, no excuses for that. We will always have excuses when we form a habit. We want to come to the house and we make everything possible to get up early, rejoice in the Lord. It's a wonderful day for me to come to the house of the Lord and worship Him. Have that attitude. When you form a bad attitude, you get into the habit and that's bad. And that becomes your character. See? So you say, Brother, you are going again and sending this again, it irritates me. Well, it's up to you. Because God is watching. I'm just your pastor, I'm just telling you, I guide you in the word. That's all I can do. Amen. So now Hezekiah did this. Alright, we know the truth is truth, and if you want to get in contact with the Lord, let us have a real desire in our heart and say, Lord, I love you. I really want to. And help me to do just that, to express my gratitude, to express my joy in you. Not dragging my feet, saying, oh, come Sunday again. I'm just going to go to church. Oh my, I'm so tired. And you grumble all the way, and that's everything in your head. It's what you think of, so you will be. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Now read Genesis 1:1-4 and see what the Bible said about it. Because when everything is true in the Word of God is a light. Chapter 1:1-4.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness.
Amen. So, see, when light comes, it divides the darkness away from it. Light will divide. So, if we say that we are believers and the Bible is our treasure, I mean, to me it is. I hope to you it really is also. That the Bible should be our treasure, because there's nothing in this world that can say that the Bible is the only thing that I treasure so much. That when I go out and preach, I mean, I have this Bible so many, I mean, I have different versions of the Bible, you know, in my cupboard. I bought them when I was young, I want to know the translation, I want to know the real thing. But this book, this Bible has been the one that I've been using all these years. Alright? Since I was in the examination of God, when I, you know, it has been with me. And this Bible of mine have underwent 2 surgery to repair. Okay? And my note that was on the side was, you know, they have to trim up because when they redo it, you know, some part of it was that my notes were gone. And I think that this Bible cannot go for a 3rd surgery anymore, it's falling apart. But you know, when I go overseas, I would carry this Bible with me in my hand. I would never check it in because if it's lost, it's lost. All my notes is all on the side of the Bible here and there. That's why I scribble it down. I remember it. You know, that give me the vision or the perception where I know to find the place. So to me, I cannot, you know, separate from this Bible. If I carry this Bible out of my home, it must always stay with me. And if someone carried it for me, like this morning, when we came, was in the car, and the sisters were carrying, I said, you better take care of this bag of mine. Because what is inside is multi-million dollar worth of it. You know, I mean, this Bible, I mean, there's nothing like this Word of God. Because it brings light. I was once in darkness, the Lord opened my eyes to see the light and show me the way of eternal life. And I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever the promises of God is given us in the Bible, when we see it, we read it, we can say amen, right? We can praise God for all that He said in this word. And I know it because it is true. Alright, let us go to our next passage of scripture. Matthew 5, verse 6. Brother Clement? Matthew 5, verse 6.
Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled.
Or so be filled. Chapter 6, verse 30 to 33.
Matthew 6, verse 33, right?
Yes.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen. 11, chapter 11, I'll read it. Chapter 11, verse 23 to 24. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted up unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So now, we talk about the word. God feed us the word. They are those that reject it. And if your heart desires the word of God, God will clothe you with His word. He will feed you just like He feed the star. You know? So the question is, do people really love the word of God? How many Christians out there in the world today? Today is Sunday. They go to church. One side of the island of Singapore, and another one on the other side. In fact, I don't know how many hundreds of churches are there in Singapore. How many groups there are? And we have thousands and thousands of people this morning enter into church building and hear sermons. How many of the people that gather there really love the Word of God? All they are there because it's a ritual. Come Sunday, religious people will go to church. Just like come festive season for the Hindus or the Buddhists, they will go to their temple and they worship, right? But the thing is, I'm talking about us as Christians who believe the one and only true God, who have given us this treasure called the Bible, called the Sacred Scripture. Do you love the Word of God? Do you really love the Word of God? That's the question. Or you just have a Bible to go to church and you hold it in your hand. Because I have seen people on in the bus or train and on Sunday evening, they will hold the Bible in their hand, they don't even put it in their bag. They want to show that they are Christian. But how many of them really love the Word? And search it out. What they hear every Sunday. Because when you love the Word, you need to do a search. Let us go on now then. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. You know, we can only, like Sister Brie was saying, that she gave a testimony to us, her experience. Every one of us has testimony to give, to share. As for me, I came into the Lord Jesus, I heard the gospel through my mom. And then I went to the Baptist church and they were having a evangelical meeting. A foreign preacher came and preached, and I went just to attend and I heard the gospel about the love of God, the love of Christ, how He died for me. And I gave my life to Him. And of course, that was what I experienced. There was an overwhelming relief that something was lifted away. You know, and in last a year or so, and when I went to enter to secondary school, the first day of secondary school, while we are waiting for our books to arrive, and there's nothing better to do, the teacher said, introduce one another and then sing us a song and this and that. So, you know, young people, they think that we know. I was young, of course. I was, you know, I was just 13 years or so. I thought that maybe I know how to sing. So I probably go and sing up there some pop song. I mean, I was singing a Christian song, actually. And then there were those, they were singing pop song and all this. And after a while, the teacher started to criticize, oh, you know, young people don't even know how to sing. Come on, you should be able to learn, sing like Ricky Nelson, Elvis Presley, or Beatles, and all that stuff. But I mean, the way he talked was kind of offensive. And, well, from that one statement he made, it turned my life around, and I went into the pop world. Started to collect songs, started to sing, and waste my time in that for 2 years. 2 years. I didn't go to church, though I never denied Christ of way. Anyway. But the Lord brought me by using a sinner. Just imagine. God can use anybody. Yeah. He used a neighbor of mine who was a sinner who was, we were together, we were collecting songs and writing them down, decorating it, and buying all this pop magazine and all that. I just, you know, I look back at how stupid I must be. The little money that I have, I save it to buy all that magazine. And all this idol worship, you know, about this singer and all this. And the Lord brought me to this sinner, brought me back, and well, we turned to the Pentecostal church, and that's when the Lord delivered the message that day when I entered into that church. You know. And the message? Prodigal son, come home. That was the message. It was for me. I was sitting right at the back of the little church room. There was this long, you know, what they call the hall, and on the left and on the right, it was like a ship of a T. And the preacher was standing there, he was just pointing his head, prodigal son, come home. And I was there at the back, like in the trance. And all I could see was a big hand that pointed to me, prodigal son, come home. And I was just dazed. I could not see anybody. It was just a cloud that, you know, like a circle, and then just like a tunnel vision. And I could see the hand, prodigal son, come home. Prodigal son, come home. Wherever the preacher was pointing, I was in the daze. It seemed that that hand was the hand of God pointing and asking me, come back. And I went up to the front after the altar call and cried my heart out for almost more than an hour. And everybody's home, and I got up. I was alone. The pastor was sitting there. So everything changed. That's when the Bible came real to me. I went to my room. I went into the room. I took time off to fast, asking the pastor permission to stay in the room, one of the rooms that you have in the parsonage. I spent a week there, and I go on and in, and I pray, and I pray. And you know what? The Lord then showed me what I was supposed to do. And I have everything written down. At that time I said, Lord, how can I be a preacher? How can I? I'm the firstborn in the family. And my mom struggled to put food on the table. My father is not well. He couldn't hardly work. And I'm a preacher. Let me say, I have to go to Bible school. Where am I going to get the money? You know, if I go to Bible school, who's going to feed the rest of the brother? You know, I'm the older one. So I just wrote it down. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. And it was only about 3 years later, 4 years later, that the message came in 71. That's when I left. And then when I left, not only that, the Bible became even a brighter book, I would say. Became a new book altogether, totally. Because I was so immersed in the Word of God through tradition. And I knew, all that I knew was, the examples of God, 16 fundamental truth. The 10 of the faith that they have. You know. And I was preaching hard about speaking in tongues, about the Trinity, about eternal hell fire. And I was waving the examples of God flag until the message came to my hand. And God works in very strange ways, doesn't He? One statement out of the book that I was reading, The problem had that when he said, well, 3% of their same identical substance mix three God, or else language is not language. So if Father is God, Son is God, Holy Spirit is God, it has to be three gods. That makes sense to me. I closed the book and said, Father, I'm not going to read this book. I said, only show it for me here. And I took off from hand to fast and pray while I was working. And the Lord revealed to me the wonders of God, no eternal hellfire, and I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I knew then God began to take hold of my life and prepare me for the work. And that's what how much it is to me. Now read 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8 to 21, Brother Henry.
8-21. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purchased the land and the house, he sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, and the governor of the city, and Joah the son of Johanan, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when he came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered on the hands of Manasseh and Ephraim, and all the remnant of Israel, and all the Judah and their Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord, to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificer and builders gave they it to bind stone, and timber for cutting, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jehath and Obadiah, the Levites of the son of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam, of the sons of Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also they were there over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that brought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah, the priest, found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the books to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they were gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and was delivered into the hand of the overseers, and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the Lord, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king's, say, go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of books that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book.
Amen. We may desire fellowship and set the things all in order as you come to the house of the Lord and worship God. But you know, as I said this before, there are three things that are important to us when we come to the house of the Lord. First of all, we come for fellowship, which is good. Worshipping the Lord is second, and that is better. But the most of all, truly most important thing, is to be hearing the word of God and let the word of God judge us. So you know, this guy had everything set up, but he didn't know how far they were from the word of God until the book of God's word was found. And when it was read to him, he found that, my goodness, we have been drifting too far from God. So in our life, if we say we love the Lord, the Bible is our treasure. What do you do about it? Do we look into the mirror of God's word and examine ourselves? When we come to the church, the Bible said judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and this is the house of the Lord. You hear the word of the Lord. When we are hearing the word of God, do we line up with the word of God? Or when I speak about something, or you say, that's me, I behave like that. And that promise of God is for me too, I want it. Or do you just hear something, that thing that Brother Gan said is for that brother or that sister? I heard this in the past. Now I'm not speaking against anybody. If I need to rebuild you, I'll come and talk to you. But sometimes even you don't want to hear me telling you the truth. Because it hurts, right? Truth, if truth does not hurt, it serves no purpose. Truth will hurt you. Because it exposes your falsehood, that's why you hurt. If you have truth and I speak the truth, it wouldn't hurt you because you already have the truth. Here what we see Hezekiah, what's recorded here. Look, compare that to what's outside in the churches today. Do they know how far they are away from the word of truth? From the word of God? Huh? They may have their worship, just like the Pentecost charismatic. They worship, they love to worship, they love to sing. But God is not just in that thing. But you know one thing I discovered when I sit on the YouTube and all that and hear all this preaching and all this book the charismatic wrote about? It's all about praising the Lord, worship the Lord. You know, new songs were written by charismatic, right? They love to worship, they love to worship. And it's true, they worship, but they're far from God. Because they sing so much, they praise the Lord so much, that they cannot be still and listen to God. And God is not in all of worship every time. Because people can worship Him, but their heart is far from Him. You see. And isn't that true in the days of Jesus? Jesus even rebuked the Pharisees. Huh? Because of tradition, they worship. Alright. Let's go to the next verse. 2 Timothy 3. 15 to 17.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truthfully furnished unto all good works.
Amen. That's why we believe that the Sacred Scripture is the only authority of our faith. All that which we want to know concerning the where, why, and when all this appeared, creation, your life, your purpose, where you're going, how you are here, why you are here, it's all in the Scriptures. Isn't it true? So all the truth that we want to know must be based on the inspired Word of God, not by tradition. We read already John 3:16. We take for example John 3:16. You and I know very well John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's one very well known verse of Scripture which are usually used to preach the gospel. Am I not right? You heard it now? Have you not heard it often? How many of you heard it often? Have you not heard it often? Yes. As Christian, when you hear someone who come along and try to show you this, that you know about the gospel, that you are a sinner, you need Jesus. This verse is always quoted. And other verse, for all I have sinned and comes from the glory of the Lord and so on. But it seems that all my years as a Christian, denomination coming out of that, and even talk to some friend of mine all who are Christian, they seem to take this verse at face value and go no further. I believe what God's word said is true. But do not take God's word at face value and stop just there and do nothing more than that. You believe what John 3:16 said? For God so loved the world? Yes. That He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ? Yes. That whosoever believeth in Him have eternal life? Yes. I believe that. But the problem is that when you take the verse, if you don't understand the word believe, what does the word believe pertains to, amount to? It's pistio. It's a Greek word. It means your trust in the person. When you trust that person, what do? You go all the way with him and trust him all the way. Not just at one time and do nothing. Because Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior, He must be your Master. He must be your Lord. Not just being your Savior. Lord Jesus, I want to be my Savior. I'm a sinner, yes. I confess, I repent my sin. I'm your child. You're my Savior. Is that all that you can talk to Him about? Then the rest of my life, Lord Jesus, I'm my own Master. Try to tell Him that and see what happens. That's what many Christians do, that even though they don't speak of it. When you talk to them, they tell them and say, well, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven, that's what the Bible promised. I have a desire, what I do, what I want. They may not say like that directly to me. But the way they, you know, the conversation go, how they give their excuses, these excuses. Ah, excuses, there are plenty. Huh? Look at the rich man, Jesus, the rich young ruler, right? Jesus talked to him, yes, I've kept all the commandments since when I was a child, yes. Good. And Jesus said, well, sell all that you have and follow me. Then he come. Why? Something holds him back. The business is his main concern. He wanted to be Lord over his own business, but the business became Lord over him. That's why many times we don't realize it. Our career, our desire for this and that high position became our master, become our master. It controls us. Right? Making money, that's all we think of. Getting degrees after degrees, all that we think of. We control you. We don't realize that. Instead of liking Jesus, be our master and our Lord. You know, I was talking to Israel the other day about the money issue, you know. And he was telling about in those days, back in those days when there were no paper money, what did they do? They bought a trade, right? Yeah. They have sheep, they have goat, they have cow, the vegetables and all these things. Oh, bought a trade. Okay, I give you one sheep, you make me a check to a carpenter. You know, I give you a goat and let me have some vegetable. Trading. Is it alright? Or you are the builder, okay, build me a house, I give you 10 cows, 10 goats and whatever. Barter trade. So we don't hoard money. But today is different. Huh? Everybody's thinking of making money, money, money. What do you do with the money? I was just thinking money. One of these, they're now in Singapore, they're going cashless, right? They would go cashless. Some countries are going cashless already. So, cashless. One day there's no money printed. And every account that you have is in the bank. It's all nothing but a number. Right. Nothing but a number. And if something went wrong, what's going to prove that you have money? Nothing. Think about it. And the world is already under control. But the one world order. The system that came into play when George Bush talked about that. How many years ago? In 1990 something. Right. And who was behind it? Technology? But not only that. It's political, it's religious. Somewhere out there, somebody is manipulating. A system is manipulating. Everything that you have is nothing but a number. They put chips in people now, they're trusting that. Is that right? Yeah. Now face the recognition. You have a number, I have a number. Everyone, everything that we do, when you do transaction online, They know what you're doing. Are you not scared? The world is under control. Is it for the better? You say, yes, for the better. Yeah, everything is for the better. Look at all the political system. Look at what's going on up there in America. The lies that have been told out there among the people. It's really scary. I was watching a documentary about how that this pharmaceutical firm have killed so many people with Prozac, Zoloft, and Paisal or something like that. The antidepressant drug. And how many of them who took that actually go crazy, hang themselves, and kill their own children? I was horrified when I saw that documentary. And they said, it's no problem, that's not true. But UK banned some of these things. America said, no. How evil can men be? Who is controlling this pharmaceutical firm? Huh? It's the spirit of greed that controls these big guys, CEO, directors. All they want is every year they get big bonus, big income. That's what happened. And your life is in your hand. You need to control your life. And I want my life to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Because you are, we are believers. This is our tragedy. This is how God shows us the little thing, the hidden things. What it means to be under His control. My Lord, my Master, my Savior. Not just my Savior, O Lord. You know, I was happy when I was young and I accepted Christ. Oh, my Savior, I was so happy. And yes, I praise the Lord Jesus. I never once called Him my Master. You know? And then I came to the time and realized what? I can call Him Lord, but I want Him to be a Master of my life. That's why, how different it is. You know? Alright? Now, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. See what the Bible speaks of itself. Nehemiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra, the priest, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first year of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now, from morning until midday. From morning until midday. Can you stand on and listening to the word of God being read to you that long? Huh? These people have departed from the law for so long that they found a book and he read it. And people just wanted to hear and hear. They didn't know anything about being hungry. From morning until midday, before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law, not going to sleep, not going down there, standing like soldiers and fall face down the floor. Yeah, because they have not the word of God for so long. Yeah, maybe say, oh, again, but we have the word of God for all these weeks now, these months, all these years. Yeah, and we don't need to hear anymore. No. We grow. Every time we eat the word of God, we grow spiritually. That's for sure. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. May he stood above the higher so the people could see him. Like a brother nice told me when he went to Karamunja, he couldn't stand there preaching to the people because many of them in the back could not see him. So he climbed up the tree so they could see. So the people could see him. Alright. And they made him for the purpose, and beside him stood. Alright, we don't read all this name, and then we go right down to verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people. He opened the book. What book is that? The Word of God. The Bible. The Sacred Scripture. Not the books of Brother Branham. Not the books of Luther. Not the books of the Pope. It's the book. As you know what the Bible tells, and if 5 or 4 minutes, anyone who preaches, he must take the book and open it. And cursed be the man who take a bunch of book of Brother Branham or any other book and try to make doctrines out of it and say that's the doctrines of God. Because many times, 99% of the time, they interpret Brother Branham's word according to their likings. And it's not even scripture. You know, it is easy to say that Brother Branham preaches the word of God. I know he preaches the word of God. I know Jesus preaches the word of God. But yet a lot of people, even in Jesus' day, misquoted him. Didn't they? Huh? They didn't even understand. And that's what disciples asked Jesus, why do you preach in parable? He said, Jesus, I preach in parable that I might fulfill the word of Isaiah. That in hearing, they hear not. A lot of people say, oh, I understand the word of God. I hear you. I understand. A soul went forth to sow. Some sit on the wayside, some feel on the thorny side, and some fall on the good ground, and so on. Oh, I know that, of course, common sense. Why, when you sit on the ground, on the roadside, of course, birds are taken in. Right, everybody knows that. Yeah, everybody knows that. But is that what Jesus meant in the parable? Rather, Jesus said, in hearing, they said they hear. They think they know, but they hear not. They don't understand. But unto you, he told the disciple, it is made known unto you the mysteries of God. So come now, sit beside me, and let me expound to you the parable. And when you expound the parable, and you ask them, now do you understand? Jesus said, if you don't understand this, the rest of all the other parables that I'm going to speak, you will not be able to understand. But what do you think? Today when the truth is being preached, how many people understood? Huh? The thing that has been spoken by Brother Branham. See? It takes a desire and a heart. That's why you cannot understand the scripture. Brother Branham said, until you are Holy Ghost filled. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand the word of God. There's something I wonder, this Branhamite. I told a brother just last week on the phone. I said, you know, the pastor is not ordained. I said, let me tell you this. I told him directly, that man is not ordained of God. I don't care how big a church he is. He has. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people? I was looking through my cupboard the other just yesterday, and here was a little book. It's called a Watchman. It's called a Watchman. It's a New Zealander. There are many watchmen around the world. They call themselves watchmen. Of course, I don't know their name. They never give their name. This one was one in New Zealand. And he talked in the first place. He read the book. In some ways, he talked about Brother Branham. But in the foreword, he said this. The Brother Branham said, he came, he said, maybe I'm not the one. I came to lay the foundation for another prophet. Now, Brother Branham talks like this. And this man believed he was the one. The watchman. The man that flew all the way from America and landed in New Zealand upon him. But where is he today? Not to be seen. I know a man preacher who called himself some big somebody. They're no longer here. Among the brand, especially the brand of man. You know what? I'll tell you something, brother and sister. The Bible, when you hold on to it the way it should be, in the Spirit of the Lord, here. That's why I always believe, I'm not afraid to venture into the Word of God and do great exploit for God. Huh? Because we are supposed to go into it. Right? All the mighty men of God, they did great exploit for God. They ventured out, they believed, they preached. They hear from the Lord. They are not quoters. They don't repeat from what somebody said. They understand the Bible and preach it. So, when you are in this Word of God, the Word of God will grow into you. It will grow into you, become very real to you. I preached my heart out since I went into the mission field in 1981, my first trip into India, and I suffered there. And other places in Africa, in the Philippines. Dirt everywhere, smokes everywhere, filth everywhere in the little cheap hotel room. I suffered. When I suffered, I don't let the brother out there when I'm in the ministry there, in the convention, I don't let them know that I was suffering. I walk to the bed in the room, I cough and I You know, having a little fever, I just wash myself, you know, wash myself with water, cool, and just tidy up myself, go preach again. And then when I come back, I get sick, I go into my room and just, well, you know, recuperate. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is real to me. And the more that I walk in the Word, I realize God shows me more. If you can be faithful in little things, you can be faithful in bigger things. A lot of people say, Lord, I want to do this great ministry for you. You can't if you're not willing to learn. Huh? People think that overnight I became such a good preacher. No. I learned from him. I learned from God. Little by little, he put me through one night at a time. And I believe that he will do the same for you if we put our heart in his treasure. I love his treasure. Hold to it. Don't let it get away from you. So now he said here, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people. For he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Well, that's the culture, of course, in the East. Even in India, when I take the Bible, people stand up and read. You know. That's a tradition people do. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. With lifting up their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshipped the Lord, their faces to the ground, for they were ashamed. They were so ashamed of what happened. They have been away from God for so far. You know, whenever I heard the truth of God and it hurts me because I know that I'm guilty of it, I can only put my head down and say, Oh Lord. Right? Forgive me. You see. And also Jasha, which is of course Joshua, and Barnin and all this other name, caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And so they read in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So it's not about just reading the Bible. It needs to make sense out of it. And so when Ezra stood there and all these others stood there, they expound the Word of God. It's not you just reading the Word of God on a Sunday. You need to expound and make sense out of it. But how can people make sense of it? How can a preacher make sense of it if he's not anointed of God? If he's not ordained of God to expound it. And here we have a lot of this problem. I think the books of Brother Bram, so Brother Bram said. They can only say what Brother Bram said. But they don't say the way Brother Bram meant. And this is a problem. Branhamism is a curse. I've been saying that. And people are against me. And there are people who came into my hotel room and prophesied that I'm going to die. That I've got a bad disease, I'll get afflicted. And I'll die. Well, I'll go back to denomination. I'm still standing here all these years. And where are they? Huh? God can never forsake those who holds to His Word. Yes. And I know some of those in the Philippines that I know of, foreign preachers that have been there, where are they today? Those that met me. And they say, Hallelujah, that again. And then they whisper among themselves against me, obviously. What happened to these people? And I've seen many of them talk to them. And I know their sincerity, their insincerity, I would say. Because the Spirit of God will expose you. There's a Brother Pierre kept away from all these people who are insincere. Said, let me do my own ministry. Don't interfere. Because many of them is all about money. Fame and popularity, fortune, whatever. And they're terrible. That's right. And the last verse in verse 10. The last part of verse 10. Or we'll say verse 10 then. And then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send a portion unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do you get the joy of the Lord? How do you get the joy of the Lord? From where does it come from? It's from the scripture. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How can you find joy without this word, without this treasure? Every time I open this treasure box, you read it, you see about what God said about it. And that's your joy. That's your strength. Because you know, you believe that God is with you, you can say amen to it. The promise of God, the word is definite. I hold to it, believe in it, because God is with you. Has He ever failed you? Huh? Well, there are people I know that feel like, you know, they don't believe in God because they say, God never hear my prayer. I pray so often, He heard it, but He never answered. What do you want when you pray to God? How do you pray? Huh? You pray, Lord, I want to have this, I want to have that. You want your will to be done? What did God answer? How do you think God can answer you? For me, what do I need? Do I need a car? I mean, a car is good, right? I don't need a car. And I'm not willing to drive a car to learn to take a license. I don't need it. Because I know that a lot of young people, when they want to learn to drive, and the moment they get the license, they rent a car. Am I not really telling the truth? They want to drive. They want to go and pick their friends. Yeah, I have a car. Come on, let's buddy. And those that I know, if I were to take a license, I know, God, I don't need it. I only need a motorcycle to bring me around to do my work. That's all. I remember it was much convenient. Now I got a wife, I got children, of course. What about a bus? What about a taxi? How often do you drive them? And I thank God for it that I don't need a car. But if I say, Lord, I want a car, I don't think God wants to give it to me either. Because I don't need it. Now one sister told me years ago, said, Brother God, you don't need a car because you have chauffeurs. Yep, I have chauffeurs to me around. You see, if there are no chauffeurs, I have the bus. Chauffeur there. Oh, just call a taxi, he's my chauffeur too, right? You see? So I live within my means. The thing that I don't need, I don't need it. Do you know? What do you want to have it for? Even my computer. I don't need to buy a high-class computer. The one that was come out, I think it was Jono who gave me his one. His, and we fix it up. I don't need all those, you know, high expensive things. No. Live with our means, be contented. That's what the Bible talks about. And because I'm contented, because I'm in the Lord, I have the joy. It's real, brother. Alright, Psalms 40 verse 7. Psalms is easy to find. When you hold the Bible in the center, you just get some scripture in your hand. Psalms 40, and we have verse 6 to 10. Alright, it says here, sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. My eyes have thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared my faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Right. Who wrote this psalm? Who wrote this psalm? King David. And verse 7. And lo, I come. In the volume of book it is written of me. Who is that? Come on, who is that? Jesus Christ, but it is also me. And it is also David. This book is also written on me. Is it not? Have you ever think about it? This book, when you read it, you wrote, I told you that you must find your name inside here. Right? Right? Shalom, your name is here, right? Yeah, I know. Mary, your name is inside there. Yeah, Naomi's name is inside there, I know. Sorry, Brother Cuddy, your name is not there. Neither Richard is here. Neither Bree is here. Neither Gretty is here. Neither Inger is here. Neither Henry. So what am I talking about, the name? I'm talking about your spiritual name in here. Recognizing that you're part of the Word. Are you not part of the Word? Yeah. So if you read your, if you read this Bible, if you don't find yourself in the place in the Bible, something is wrong. Because Jesus, this book was written about Jesus, and it's written about Jesus' wife, in which I am part of Him, in here. And everything that I said, Lord, I'm come to do Thy will. Yes, sir. I'm, now that I come to Jesus Christ, I'm a new person. I come to do His will. Isn't it? Everything there here, I declare God's righteousness, and so on. It's right there. That's what David was talking about. You see? But of course, the main character, and every time there is a mystery, a prophecy, in written this form, is always prefiguring somebody. It's always pointing to somebody. The one who is the great shepherd. Amen? Right. Because as Barbara used to say, that we are little Messiah. Because God is the Messiah. We are little Messiah. He's the Son of God. Alright? The one and only Yahshua. And we are little gods. Because we are sons of God, we have to be gods. Right? Yes. Sometimes we talk like this. You know, denomination, we say, what are you talking? They're gods. You know what I mean? They don't seem to understand that Jesus told the Pharisees, You call them God, the prophets, huh? Whom the word of God came to. Then what about me? If the word of God came to us, we must be gods. Because when you speak the word of God, when we are born again by the Spirit of the Lord, we must be God. Because if my Father is God, I have to be God. Because on the earth, I'm a Chinese. My father must be a Chinese, then I'm a Chinese. Am I not right? You see, simple thing that many people do understand. Isaiah 29:8-15. Isaiah 29:8-15. Brother Henry.
Isaiah 29:8-15.
Yes.
And it shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. And his soul have appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourself and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, have they come. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which man delivers to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And his book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I have not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among his people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise man shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek thee to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth, and who knoweth not?
Amen. So, just to take this portion here, in the day that is to come, of course there is a lot of blindness about the people of Israel. But look at 14. It says here, and the vision of all is come unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which man delivered to one that is learned. He is learned, okay? An educated man. And he said, oh, I cannot, for it is sealed. And then the next one says, and the book that is given to one that is not learned, and he will tell you the truth, but I'm not learned. So I cannot understand. Of course, isn't it? So in truth, it is today in this world. People are worshipping God, but their heart is far from Him. You look at the educated theologian, the academic Bible teacher, you know, they've been trained in Bible school. Just that this brother here who we're trying to help, the brother Nyson, you know, the Nigerian who lives in Italy for so many years, was a Catholic lecturer. And he came across the message. What did he learn? He come here often to discuss with him the word of God. He said, Brother Gunn, I said, well, you learned that, didn't you? He said, no, I don't have all this. What did the Catholic Church taught them? What has he learned from the Catholic Church? Nothing but Hail Mary full of grace. And if Mary is alive and see all these things from heaven, where I mean from paradise, I can tell you she might be very upset. Worshipping her. Lord of men, taught the people of the Lord all this. And when he showed down the truth to the learned, to the unlearned, even they say, I cannot understand because I have not learned. And he will tell you, many, I have talked to Christians, the Catholic people. He said, I don't know. Because, you know, I don't know the Bible. I'm not learned. What do you mean by you not learned? Can you not read? He can read. Can you not understand what I'm saying? No, because my Catholic Church told me this. For what you're telling me, it may be different. It is something different that I cannot accept. That's the way they think. The learned say, it is you, I don't understand. Then I can understand. Of course. Can you go to Bible school and study and then say that I have a key that will unlock the mystery of the seal? Then I can understand? No. That's why the interpretation in the book of Revelation. You see how they interpret Revelation chapter 12 on the YouTube? Huh? The woman, the wonder in heaven, the dragon, say it was a constellation, this and that, this and that. He has nothing to do with the constellation, though it be for size and all that. But the reality of all that which is shown in the constellation already will fulfill and is in part and is coming. It's not about the constellation of the woman in heaven and the dragon in heaven, the constellation. What John did see in his day in a vision was a vision that was real, not about a constellation. And you understand what the woman is, and we know what the dragon is. For there is no such thing as the word dragon in the Bible originally. It's a mistranslation. It's a rock. It's a serpent. Huh? Who do you think that serpent is? None other than Satan, who seek to destroy Israel. Right? Who are willing to wait and, you know, because he was about to deliver. The dragon wanted to kill the child. Remember when Jesus was born? He was already hunted down. Huh? You see. So that is the thing that will make known. But you think this educated one, this learned one can understand. It is sealed to them truly. And the foolish can never understand because they are following tradition all these years. Years after years. And no wonder as in verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw me with their mouth and their lips do honor me, but they remove their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of man. That's true, isn't it? Huh? My pastor, I went to this, you know, I go to this Brahmai church. The pastor said this, Brahmai said. That's why when I talk to many of these people, to come out of it. It's so hard for them. Years ago, some of you here were in those churches. You came here, you go back there. You came here, you go back. You're very confused. Now pray that the Lord opens your heart, all those things. There are some out there, they're still wondering. What is so difficult for you to see? It's difficult for you to see is because the treasure of God is not in your heart. Like Sister Brie was testifying, right? You see, you were in that movement so long. It's so hard. The one thing I always tell people, you want to understand the word of God, get up from the system. Get up from every ism that you can. I don't care how many years you have been a pastor than in church. I don't care how many years you have been in a message. You call it a message. But you're quoting Brother Branham because you're sitting under a pastor who is Branhamic. And as long as you are in the system, you're dying. Right? Huh? You know what I'm saying, right? Yes. False doctrine. You sit in the church, you hear all that false doctrine being taught. You know what it will do to you? It retard your spiritual growth. I want you to know that. That's why I wasn't moving when I was in assembly. I was moving in the way because of the system. Yes. But when I came out, I realized. But when I was caught in, almost in Branhamism, I was almost caught in it. Because the power of Satan. Remember that. Don't you think that you can outsmart Satan? Because he was the wise. What? Cherubim that covereth. He was all the sum of all wisdom. Huh? Even Michael rebuking over the body of Moses. He didn't say, I rebuke you. He says, the Lord rebuked you. Michael even know who he was. He was higher than Michael. Higher than Gabriel. You see? If Michael would say, I rebuke you. Satan was telling him, who do you think you are? Huh? You know who I am? Even though I'm the adversary of God right now, I'm more powerful than you are. That's what Michael said, the Lord rebuked you. Satan have no say. Do you understand? Yes. I said to those brothers, all those who are just confused, who are staying on, took a false talking. I said, you know what, brother, the word of God will rebuke you on this. I'm not going to rebuke you because you are in a false doctrine. You didn't do me any harm. I cannot rebuke you. But you do anything against the word of God. The Lord rebuke you. The word of God is the which rebuke you. You need to know the importance of God's word. Now, when we come, as I said this, open the Bible, open the book of God and make sense of it. Because that's when the treasure of God makes sense. You know, like a children, you give a child a treasure box of toys and all this. You pick up this one, hey, what is this? You know, now you come to daddy, mommy, well, what is this toy? What you do with it? You know, sometimes those things are not easy. Of course, you see a car, you know what a car is. But you get some other toy, you ask it, what is it? So you need to make sense to them what these toys are for, right? How do you play them? You know. See. Like my grandson Adam, when I bought him a little helicopter, you know those sticks with the helicopter, you just flip in it. He doesn't know what that is. What is it, Grandpa? I said, this is how you do it. I fix it and I show him how you play it. Oh, I see. That's how he said. Oh, I see. And I hope that every Christian, when they see the word of God, oh, I see. Yes, now. Once I was blind, but now I see. Because a helicopter like this, a stick, it doesn't know anything. Right? So when you explain to him, oh, now I see how it works. Now I see what the word of God meant. You know, if there is no exposition, you don't know. An exposition of the word of God does not come by any Tom, Dick, and Harry. I don't care. I have certain other ministers. You know, convention, I said, I listen to what they have to preach. Sometimes the word that came up on them make me sick. Because they hardly know a thing. You know. And they think they make themselves great preacher. Can they use the word of God, open it up and do it? And you know, the gift and the calling of God are without repentance. I didn't tell God, I want to be your servant. No. God said, I chose you. I call you. I will equip you. And those of us when I was young, I was kind of afraid because, well, how am I going to answer questions, you know? Because you don't know what people are going to ask. And the Lord says, do not be like Jeremiah. Who said I was a boy? I don't know what to say. And God says, say now you are a youth. I'll put words in the mouth. Those were the days when I was in the exams of God when I fought. This is what God told me. And the very same thing that I think you have heard my testimony, that prophecy, right? I show it to you. that was authored in Brother Jackson's church by the brother with the gift of prophecy, and by Brother John Monk, whom I met it the second time. The first time he didn't know who I was. He saw me preach, then he told the pastor, "This man I can identify with." Because he was fed up of foreigners coming to Uganda and preach garbage. To him, he says, garbage. So the second year when I went back, I told the pastor in Kampala, "Please send down John Mark. I'm going to travel with him to the western side of Uganda, to Kasese." And John Mark came. He was very happy to join me. We didn't know much about each other as yet. Alright? We traveled on the bus and went to Kasese. There was only one hotel there. So we went there. We checked in, lodged in. In the early morning we got up, because we were hungry. Got up in the morning to go for breakfast, and the staff told me, "The breakfast is not ready." You know? I said, "Okay." He said, "You come back later." Brother Joma and I went, walked out of the hotel. It was a big compound. It was a small little only hotel there. And it was on a hillock, and it was beautiful. We could see across the other side of the mountain and valley there, and the sun was just about coming out. We sat there facing the sun, just watching it rise, and we just said, "John, let's just worship the Lord." "Yeah, Brother Ken." We sat there, we just worshiped the Lord and just pray and pray and pray for about 20, maybe half an hour. Then Brother John Mark stopped. I don't know why he stopped, but I just got to do the worshiping. Man, after about 5 minutes, I stopped. And I said, "Brother John, why did you stop?" It's a beautiful day. He said, "Brother Ken, I stopped because I saw the vision. And I want to tell you." And I asked him, "What did you see?" Exactly the vision that was shown to him was what was refracted in the prophecy in Brother Jackson's convention. He said, "Brother Ken, I saw you on the platform." He was standing on the platform and he was facing Christ. Christ was facing to you, you know, was facing you, and you were facing him, and looking at each other. And Jesus had put his hand and said to you, "Fear not, not afraid, just to preach what I have put in your mouth to preach." You know. And I bring me memory to that day when I stood in the pulpit of Brother Jackson after preaching the message. And the brother prophesied. He refused to prophesy. Because he told me later on that he had backslided. And he just recently came back to the Lord. The Lord was dealing with him. He sat there when I finished my message. The Lord told him, "Stand up and prophesy." He refused. Then Brother Jackson was continuing talking. Then Brother Jackson stopped. Then the Lord said to him, "Stand up and prophesy." He said, "Brother Jackson, again I refused." Then the third time, he said, when after Brother Jackson was speaking, commenting about the message and something else, and he stopped and said, "Brother Dan, the third time, my bottom is too hot. God put a fire in my back and I have to get up and I have to prophesy." And he prophesied, and I stood there and heard every word. It was after the service was over, we went for lunch in the hall, and I came up to him, I said, "Brother," I never met him, that was the first time. "I said, brother, your prophecy was correct." Then he said, "Oh, Brother God, you never know what happened during that time." You know. Because I knew what God called me. And that prophecy was one, that Brother John was one. And you talk about Sister B talking about what he actually experienced on that Friday. She was not the only first person. In Uganda, they saw the pillar of fire. In the Philippines, they saw the pillar of fire. And I told them, "It's not for me, it's for you." God has never forsaken His church. Amen. The pillar of fire is always there when truth is being preached. Some of you may not have experienced dreams and vision. Put your heart in the Word of God and see what God will give to you. He will give you a night vision. He will give you a vision. I don't know. Like my mom, when she came back to Lord, she put her heart into the Word. She rejoiced in it. And God gave her a fantastic vision in the room. Because God is real. Amen. The Word is real. That's all I want you to know. Now in the Bible there are so many things. Even on Friday we discussed who of is William Branham. Who was he? But in the Bible there are so many types and shadows. You heard so much about Elijah. You heard about John the Baptist, right? Elijah was a man uneducated. John the Baptist was uneducated, wasn't he? So was Brother Branham. He wasn't educated. Elijah was a man of the wilderness. So was John the Baptist. So was William Branham. The tops and the shadows. And Elijah's ministry was to put Israel back into the Word of God. So was John the Baptist called them to turn the heart of these religious people who are lost in their tradition back to the gospel that he's preaching now. To repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. So what about Brother Branham? He came with a message, come on, help my people. Get back to the Word. Leave the system. Because they are blinded. Israel was so blinded when God sent John the Baptist. How many of them saw who John the Baptist was? How many? In the days of Noah, how many of them believed that Noah was speaking the truth? That there's going to come a flood. There's going to come rain. The people are laughing and laughing away and making fun of him. Because what? Water. There's never rain. If there was never rain, how can there be a flood? It's hard to believe, isn't it? And then we have another time, we have Moses. And you compare Moses to Paul. Moses was an educated man, wasn't he? Sure. And what about Paul? Paul was an educated man also. Member of the Sanhedrin, of Pharisees and the Pharisees. Moses, he killed an Egyptian, right? Thinking that he was doing God a service because the Egyptian was bullying the Hebrew. And what about Saul? He seek out the Christian, right? To harm them. And then God came down in a pillar, a fire in a burning bush, talking to Moses. Huh? And then God came down and talked to Saul when he was, before he was Paul, right? In the light as well, and blinded his eye. And God gave the 10th commandment, the commandment to Moses on the Mount of Sinai. And what did God give to Paul? What did God give to Paul? The truth. The Word of God. The commandment of God. And God inspired Moses to write 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the Pentateuch. And then you have Paul. God told him to write how many books? 14 books. Including Hebrew. A lot of Hebrew people don't believe the Hebrew was written by Paul. That's Paul. And then Moses' contribution to the Bible in the 5 books was the foundation of the Jewish faith. And Paul's epistle was to us the foundation also. It was the foundation for the Gentile, very most importantly. Because that which Peter and all the others wrote about, they're still not sure at that time. But now we can see that what Peter wrote, what Paul wrote, though they are different in the approach to the Gentile and what Peter wrote to the Jew, they are still one. Because God's always moving, progressing. Revelation. Scriptures now consist of what? Theology? What is theology? Theo means what? God. Logi, study of the Word. Logi is logos. So theology, God's Word expressed. So you could expound it. And you express God's Word in your life. God in your life. Well, the Word of God talks about history too, doesn't it? Of course. So we know where, when came the dinosaur? How he dies out? When came Adam and Eve? The flood? We all know this. How the earth was shifted, how the world was shaped. See? Alright, and we know that the Bible said God sits upon the circles of the earth. That's in the book of Job. Oh, Isaiah. It's in the circles of the earth. And you think the earth is not round? People think the earth is flat, of course. If the earth is flat, the moon is flat. All the other planets have to be flat. That's why I'm not concerned. Funny theories they have. And the Bible is full of prophecy. Sure, isn't it? All the prophecy in the Old Testament concerning the first coming of Christ were fulfilled. Were they not? Yes. And there are so many concerning his second coming. And which is already appearing time and time again already on the horizon. We see that. Will the world continue for another year? I don't know. Because this year, 2017, is the 50th year since 1967. when they took back the old wall, the old city of Jerusalem. Next year will be the 70th year of Israel. With Jesus Christ, will God fix the 70th year? Because when Jesus was born, to the time that Jerusalem was destroyed for 70 years. Huh? So would it be the same in 48 to 2018? Would it be? I don't know. I just wish that I don't want to go to... No, if I want to live, I want to live in the age where I have a round number. If I'll die, I die 70. If I'll die, I die 80. If not, I don't die 80, now I die 90. So if 70 years Christ don't come, then I have to live another 10 years. Then I'll go 80 years old. But would the world go that long, seeing the condition it is today? I just wait for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go quickly now. Galatians chapter 1, 1 to 12. All right. Galatians chapter 1, 1 to 12. Here Paul said, Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And verse 12. For I did not receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, the Bible tells me, all God's men are called. They are not taught by the system. They are not taught by theological school where a learned man teach you this thing and that thing. Now, if you want a degree in doctorate or whatever, in business, in physiology, in psychology, in engineering, you have to go to university, right? And the lecturer will be the educated one that will teach you. Isn't it? Right? That's how you learn. But the Bible is not like that. You don't learn it in theological school. You see. It is God's call. And this apostle said, I was not taught by anyone. I was not taught by man. I was taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that the Lord Jesus took him out in the desert for about 3 years. And you know what? When Paul went out there in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus bashed him. Hard and good. To remove all the tradition out of him. Right? You understand? Do you know how difficult it is to get rid of your tradition? You know that, don't you? You know what I mean? Some people just do that. When there's lightning strike, there's a thunder. You ever seen that? Right? Catholic people do that very often. You do that too once your sister Lucy, when you were young. When you were in Catholic church, don't tell me you don't. You see, it is a very natural reflex. Right? Yes. But you see one thing, that Paul had that tradition. God has to take him out in the wilderness, separate him from every other thing, let him be alone, talk him, bash him. That's why I was bashed when I left the denomination. Because there's still a lot of things up there, and the Lord just bashing it up. And I said, how you look at this? And that's why we learn by that. All right. Okay, let us continue now quickly. How many believe the Bible is true in what sense? How do you know the Bible is true? One of the most important things when the Bible is true is because. Not only because of history record, that is proved to be true. Like the flood, you know that there is archaeological research. But the Bible, there are many prophecies regarding the scripture being the truth. It's like I told you about, the Bible said, God sits upon the circles of the earth. In those days, how do you know the earth is round or flat or whatever? Or round or square, right? Nobody knows. You see? And there was later on when, you know, when we have advancement inside and we can see, oh, it's flat. And the Bible said, okay, let's just go to one verse now. Job 38, verse 35. Somebody read it.
And thou send lightning, that they may go, say unto thee, here we are.
What is that? What is this prophecy? This was spoken that day when this thing did not come into being. What is that? It's a television. Have you ever thought of it? Can thou send lightning? What is lightning? Lightning is energy. Right? It's a surge of light. It's a surge of energy. Can thou send lightning and say, I'm here. Remember in the book of Revelation when the three witnesses died? Two witnesses, when they are killed. The Bible said the world saw the body. How can they do that? Do we have to go to Jerusalem to see it? No. Via your satellite TV. That's what. Can you start lightning? I said, yeah, I am. Now, Sister Bree and Sister Gravy came on FaceTime on Friday to fellowship with us. There they are, in the room with us, though they are miles away. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And what about Revelation chapter 9, verse 16? I mean, it's just only one or two examples. Revelation chapter 9, verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. How many is what's the number?
200 million.
These are foot soldiers only, not aircrafts. Do you know, at that time when people read this back hundreds of years ago, they said that is impossible. But China itself today, the foot soldier amounts nearly 2.2. So it's 200, but in China it's 220 million. 20 million more than what the Bible said. Foot soldier alone. The only one country that has that number. Now think about it. So is the Bible telling lies? This big number impossible in those days, yeah? Huh? Back in those days impossible, but not today. And the Bible is going to fulfill this very soon. Alright, anyway, we're going to close. Let's go to Psalms again, chapter 40. Everything that we want to know in the Bible, we check it out. No matter who preaches it, Brother Bram preaches it, we check it. You know what one person told me? Well, he was always with a group. But again, you mean to say you check the prophet? I said, of course. You mean you don't just accept it? I said, no. Wow, how can you do that? He was God's prophet, you know? I said, yes, I know. I said, what about Paul? Was God, Paul, God's first messenger to the church? And what did Paul say to those in Thessalonica? He said, these are why, the Berean, right? He said, these are why that they check out the thing that I taught, whether they be true. And I told the brother, I said, you are foolish. Huh? We want to serve that the scripture, it doesn't matter who taught it. You want to make sure that it is true according to the scripture. Isn't it true? John the Baptist came and said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Everybody thinks he's a crazy man. Dressed in a camel skin, eating locusts and honey, and came out of the wilderness and started screaming. So they're thinking that he's nuts. A nutcase. So Psalms 40, verse 6 to 10 again. We just read most of all verse 7. Lo, I am come. In the volume of books, it is written of me. So everything that's in the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the center theme of the Bible. But in Christ Jesus, there is another theme. As you and me in Him. Right? Jesus said, in the day you shall know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. Wow! That's a lot of interlocking. Huh? God in Jesus in God. God in Jesus. We in Jesus, and Jesus in us. And then we're all in Jesus Christ in God. One big family. If we cannot see it, we're lost. The Word of God comes to us, not just the Word alone. Remember, when you get the word, you do the work. Remember, I preached one time, you get the word, you do the work. What do we song we sang this morning? I walk God's work. Word. I walk God's word. What do you mean by doing that? What did James say? Huh? You show me your faith, and I show you my faith with my work. Your work is your manifestation. Manifesting the light. God said this, I do this. God said that, I do that. So if we are far away from Jesus Christ, if you are in a backslidden state, you have habits that you need to give it up, give it up. Then you will be free. Then you will have the joy and the blessing from the Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace so far. Bless this day. Take the word. Bring it down further unto us, Lord. We thank you. We glorify thy name. We praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. Blessed be thy holy name. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word and bless your people. Amen.